And we're on. Okay, so here we are. So we are at the end of Resh Ayin Tes. So I think on the page, on the tour sheets I sent you, I just sent you two pages from the Tur Beis Yosef and one page from the Shulchan Aruch. Now, the Tur gets... Okay, so let's take a look at the first page in Dalet. So if you see the Tur says, V'im yesh bo shalush ti'ios, b'chol daf edaf, yachol letachno arba yignas. That if there are three mistakes in every daf, so you could fix it up. But if there are four, so then you would have to put it away, right? So what are we talking about, daf and daf? So each column, it seems like. So each column has three mistakes. So then, well, you know, that's too much. We're going to have to put in Geniza. But if there, three would be okay. But four, you'd be able to, but four would be too much. You'd have to put it away. But if there is four on each page, except for one, she'imbo tos, where there's no mistakes, so you're talking kulo al yadu, you'd be able to fix the entire thing. So this is a somewhat strange halacha, right? This is a pretty exact numbers on in terms of how many mistakes, what's the quota of mistakes that are allowed in order to fix things up. Where does this come from? So there is a Gemara. Take a look in the Beis Yosef and talk about it a little bit. The Gemara says, "Akol v'perek hakometz." So v'im tomar kiven to be'in shehe rov ha'sefer metukan lama kasef shetzarech daf echad she'im bo dalet te'uyos. That if you said that since we require that most of the, and there's another line in that Gemara that rov of the sefer needs to be fixed. So once you say that most of the sefer is good, is metukan, is right, lama kasav shetzarech daf echad she'in bo dal tuz, why do you need one that doesn't have four? Me'achar shirov ha'sefer metukan, most is okay. So hare yesh bo kama dafim she'in bahem tuyus. That must mean that you have many dafim that don't have a mistake. Ve'yishlomer derov ha'sefer metukan, ha'nomer shirov osios ha'sefer ksuvim katikna. Most of the letters are written appropriate. Ve'in lo chadaf she'in lo kama tuyus. But each column has a number of mistakes in it. That even so, if you don't have a daf that has more than three, we're going to say that that's okay. So this whole thing is a very strange halacha, in that we're like, what does it matter? What exactly are we looking for? And then I would add as well that sometimes you get an old Sefer Torah, and you'll see on one daf, there'll be like a whole daf could have smudges all over it and could start sort of leaving. So where does that play a role? Does that mean that most of the rest is okay or not? So let's take a look in Shulchan Aruch. I guess go to page 3, I would assume, in the source sheet. Oh, did I send you the right? Yeah, no, I did. Go to page 3 in the source sheet. And really, Gimel and Dalet are both reciting these halachos. So in Shulchan Aruch Sif Gimel, it says that Sefer Torah shenimsu bo shalosh te'uyos, that if you have a Sefer Torah, you find three mistakes. Aser likros bo. Now, the Zion, I think, changes it to four. Where is that Zion? Oh, no, shalosh is a pisrei tshuva. Okay, we'll get to that in a second. Three mistakes. You can't read it ad shiagienu. Kihu muchzak betuma, until you check it, because it is muchzak that it's a problem. So if you find three mistakes on one panel, on one column, so then you can't read it again until you fix the entire thing. Now that's not actually in the Gemara, that's from a Rashba in the Tshuva, that he quotes that idea. For some reason, the Shulchan Aruch quotes that before Dalet. Dalet is the halacha that we just said. A sefer Torah sheish bo gimel tu'uyos, if you find three mistakes, b'chol daf v'daf, you're talking, you could fix it. V'imayu dal, but if there's four, you'd have to put it away in the Geniz. V'imayu rov ha'sefer mugav, but if most of the sefer is fixed, is checked. V'ashar is corrected, right? V'ashar yesh bo dal tu'uyos, b'chol daf, and the rest of it has four mistakes on each page. V'nishar afilu daf echa, and you leave one daf, that's okay. M'yusashar ha'mishubash below dal tu'uyos, that doesn't have four. Hareze yitakin, that's considered to be fixed, or you can go ahead and fix it. Again, Mamed Var Mamurim Shekasav Hamalei Chaser Lefishu Gnai Litlos Kol Kach Beinei Shite Aval Im Kasav Chaser Malei Afil Yesh Bechol Daf Daf Kama Tuyus Yitakin Lefishu Ein Hagreda Gnai Kama Tuyus. It says, what are we talking about? We're talking about one where you're going to have to squeeze a letter in. But if it's a letter where you're going to just erase, that would be okay. And he says also v'cheshegored yarchiv ha'us shalafana v'shalachrov k'sas shalo yehe makom hagared hefseksive. He says, and when you do scratch out a letter, you should lengthen the letter before and the letter after so that you don't see this large space between. So this is a difficult halacha, right? What exactly, like, you have to really sit down and figure out what the rules are. And especially this, the first one, the Rashba, makes things a little bit hard, because sometimes you could have the idea, the example we gave before. You have a column where you could have 20 mistakes on one column. I remember Torah Academy called me, and they opened up, they showed me the thing, that one column had 20 mistakes. I don't know, something spilled there, whatever. That column was a problem. The other ones were a little bit better. But does that mean then you have to check the entire Sefer Torah? Checking the entire Sefer Torah is a pretty expensive proposition and pretty time-consuming proposition. So I happened to speak with Rav Lazarovsky in the Northeast, who last couple of days, and he also is a sofer. And I just asked him this, like, this din, is this, like, how machbid are we, on this particular din? Like, do we follow the rules and regulations or not? So he said, all of these are guidelines towards measuring the Sefer Torah, meaning a Sefer Torah could show up, and, you don't know who wrote it, you don't know what the deal is, we don't know who checked it, we don't know who fixed it. So these are then guidelines about checking that case. But if you could figure out, checking to see if this sofer, like, knows at all what he's doing. So if you see a page that has three mistakes already, that already perhaps indicates that the sofer didn't really know what he's doing. But if you did, if you could understand what happened, you could understand the reason why it became as such. So then you would paskin based on whatever the reason is. So if, for example, you have an older sefer Torah, and sometimes it just happens that one panel, becomes problematic. So then you could say, all right, one panel became problematic, and we're going to go ahead and fix that one panel or that one area of the Torah for whatever reason that became a problem. And he told me also that one time he got a Sefer Torah that was written by a sofer that he thought might have been dyslexic. Now, it would probably be a good idea for a sofer to figure this out before he writes an entire Sefer Torah. But he said there were 180 mistakes in terms of letters being in the wrong spot. But as we've learned already, there are many halachos that a sofer needs to know that you're not going to be able to fix. So, for example, having the right kavanos in mind, having the right things in mind before you write the name of Hashem. So you can never see that afterwards, right? So if you find already a lot of mistakes, so you suspect that not only did the sofer make these mistakes, he probably doesn't know any of the other halachos either. But if you can talk to the sofer, you know what the issue is. The sofer is a Yirei Shemayim. He knows which names are the shame of Hashem. He just happens to be dyslexic, right? So, and was writing letters in the wrong places. So based on that, so you would have the right to say, all right, we'll go ahead, we'll fix the Sefer Torah, but you don't have to have the assumption that the rest of it is going to be problematic. That seems to be what's hinted at the bottom of the page in the Pisgei Tshuva. The Pisgei Tshuva here, Zion, he says, what's the issue with these three mistakes? This is going on the line where you have three mistakes, then you have to go ahead and check the entire thing. So I am prima gadam le'el, simon pei dalad, be sif seidas, sif kadam lam beis, shehi niach, betzar chiyin, im eina sefer Torah ksav yad sofer echad, v'yigia ha'gimel tu'uyos, efshar demutter likros bo, ayin sham. Right? That, let's say it's, that the entire sefer Torah is not of one sofer, and you have fixed those three mistakes, written by a sofer, written by one of the sofrim. Right, so what does that then mean for the rest of it? So he says, yeah, you could use it so long as you straightened out that one sofer's issues. And then he says, v'ayin b'sefer b'nei Yonah shekasav dim nimtza tos echad v'igia, that you found one mistake and then you fixed it. Meaning now this issue of the three mistakes. So if you find a mistake and fix it, and then you find another mistake and fix it, right? So at what point do you count the three? Do you count the three all at the same time? Or is it as soon as you fix one and then you find another, so that's already considered a separate mistake? Now, keep in mind that the general practice when it comes to Sifrei Torah is you find a mistake and then you fix it right away, right? That otherwise you can't really move on to the next section. So the only time this would really be an issue is if you could see multiple problems on one column. So he says that v'chein sheni v'shlishi v'huga b'taim ad shelo hayu gimel tuyus yachu. You never have three mistakes at the same time. Sein seyuch laniach kula v'chein noagin, and that is the minhag. So long as you continuously are fixing a Sifrei Torah whenever you find mistakes, so then this need of having to check the entire thing when you find three mistakes is not going to come to fruition, because you're always just going to find a mistake, fix it, and then you'll find a mistake again, and then you'll fix that, and you're never going to have three mistakes at the same time. And then, by the way, at the bottom, he adds in, and this is all if you, this is a Sefer Torah that you don't know if it was ever checked, but if you know that it was checked, so then you also don't have to go and check the entire thing. Now, that itself is a little problematic. I'm not quite sure how that works, meaning if you get a Sefer Torah that's checked, meaning it has a sticker on the bottom saying it was checked by this Sofer, but then you find mistakes all over the place, I'm not sure why you could rely on that checking. I don't quite get that. I mean, the halakha is you need to check the entire thing if you find three mistakes. But if you know that it was checked before, so then you don't have to. Well, wait a second. If I found three mistakes, what gives me the right to rely on the checker? Right? Doesn't that mean that would then be a problem? So I don't know, but that is the psak of the Piskei Tshuva. So Lemaisa, based on what this Piskei Tshuva says, and based on Rav Lazarevsky's guidance, I would assume that Lemaisa, use your seichel. Right, that if you find a Sefer Torah that has problems, so then you got to look to the sides of see if this expanded beyond that section. But if you could ascertain that there's an issue with one particular section, for instance, the Sefer Torah was translated, rolled to a certain spot, right? So that particular spot, that column between the two columns, right? So that would be perhaps be more affected by some kind of weather condition or a spill or something like that than other spots. Sometimes a spit fell on it, or a drink fell, a liquid fell on it or something. So that spot would be a problem. So you don't then have to assume that there's then going to be problems in other places just because there was a problem there. All right? So that is Sif Gimel and Dalet. Yes, Sheldon?
So people often sometimes ask me, why don't we use this in this safer so-and-so gave? It's much lighter, it's easier to carry. And I know we were told that it can't be fixed. So I tell them, well, we were told it can't be fixed. But is the real answer that there's too many mistakes to fix? Or is the real answer that the parchment doesn't hold the ink anymore and it's...
Yeah, so these older, I don't know if it's too much to be fixed. It would be very expensive to fix.
If you have to fix dozens of mistakes, then you're not following this thing, right?
But the other thing Rav Lazarevsky pointed out is that really this issue with the three mistakes per column or four mistakes per column is an issue in ascertaining the sofer's competency. Right, but if it's scratches that came off later, so it's nothing to do with the sofer's competency, right? So really that you could fix. So really, where this halach, the only time this halach will really show up is if you find the mistakes right off the bat, and they're not stuff that came later, and then you have to, and we don't know who the sofer is, so you can't backtrack and figure out if there's any issue that came up. But if any of those things are, I guess, not true, right? So then you can go and figure it out what the situation is, and potentially use that Sefer Torah. What I've been told is just it doesn't work very well. Even if you go and fix the entire, you go through and fix them all, fix all the things, it cracks. Older Sefer Torah, and they're just going to continue. You're just going to continue to be having problems. Which is why I continue, even though I would come in and fix the TA Torah somewhat regularly, I also urge them very strongly that they should find a donor and get a new Sefer Torah, which Baruch Hashem they did, and now they've stopped calling me. So.
what are the circumstances? When do you actually check a whole Sefer Torah? Are there such circumstances?
So there is I'm not sure where it is, if it's in Hilchos Sefer Torah and Hilchos Mezuzah, but I think in Hilchos Mezuzah, when it says that you check the Mezuzah twice every 7 years, I think the comment is there that a Sefer Torah that's continuously in use, you don't technically need to check. Now, does that change if you have like the a maftir Torah that's constantly left at Pinchas? Does that change things? I'm not sure. But the minhag is to not check Sifrei Torah in terms of like having a magia go and check through entire Sifrei Torah because they're continuously in use. So the assumption is that the person laning is going to see it. Now, sometimes you talk to Bali Kriya and they like have no idea what you're talking. Like me, I've never seen a mistake in my life, right? And because they're not looking for them. But that is in Shulchan Aruch someplace. I forget if it's in Hilchos Sefer Torah and Hilchos Mezuzah. They make that point that so long as the Sefer Torah is in use, it doesn't need to be checked. Now, when
is there a checking process when? When you begin using
it. Yeah, so first of all, when you write a Sefer Torah, just speaking with my nephew, who is, I looked into this, if someone would want to sponsor writing a Sefer Torah. So Sefer Torah started around 30 grand or so that would go to the Sofer. So a significant portion of that is going for materials, like $1,000 or $2,000 is going for the materials, meaning the cloth and the ink, and the cloth essentially is the main expense there, and the other, and then you're paying about $3,000-$4,000 for Haggah, for checking it. So the checking is usually mean. I believe most new Sefer Torah are checked by are checked by a person as well as double computer checked. Because the as he writes Rabbi Mendelwitz, as he writes in his book, when the way the computer program is set up is that you get a printout of all the potential problems, right? And then you go through and you fix all the potential problems. The problem is that sometimes there's a lot of false positives with the computer check, right? So you sometimes you'll find column 6. Yud Kei Vav Kei, right? So you go and you look at the Yud Kei Vav Kei. Oh, that one's a little off, but it's really okay, right? But meanwhile, the computer is really pointing to a different one, right? So I believe the minhag with computer checks is to double check it because you go and fix it, and then you get a second computer check again, right? And that way you should potentially, in theory, be able to get rid of all of the human error within the computer checks, right? So that's the way it is originally. Now, when you go, for instance, people will call me with an. I actually got a call a couple months ago that there's like an army base downtown or the Navy shipyard or something. I think there's a Navy yard and there's some kind of military installation there. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
It used to be the naval shipyard.
That was a long time ago.
There's a naval facility down there.
Okay.
Military personnel.
Well, what, Joel?
There is a naval facility in the near northeast, but there's also an armory downtown.
Yes, so I think I think it was the armory, and apparently, someone called me and said there are two Sifrei Torah in the armory, and they want them checked. So would I be willing to work that out? It was like from the. Like the the Jewish Veterans Associations of America kind of thing, so I said I'm willing to help. It'd probably give me a good story at some point. So and then I never got a call about it actually getting done. But you when that happens, so at least the way my Moshe works is he'll charge I think a few hundred bucks just to look at it, which means that. The checker will scroll through the whole Torah and check several columns letter by letter. That's like the starting point. And then you get an estimate as to what it would be to either fix or you just say it's okay at that point. So I think that's the standard in the business for what they call checking Sifrei Torah. Okay? So, all right, so that's Gimel Dalet. Hey, there's more in the Shulchan Aruch than there is in the Beis Yosef, so we'll just stay here, and then we'll go back to the Beis Yosef. So Shulchan Aruch here says, Im dilig shnei shitim o gimel lo yimchok shlosha shitim lichto v'mekoman. That if you're missing two or three lines, you cannot erase shlosha shitim lichto v'mekoman arba. To write four in their place. Oh hey, lahachtis mashadileg mifnei shememai taksavu mechse kiminumar, because it will look like you are it will look like you are, what's it called? You are minimizing the ksav, and then it would look menumar. Menumar is spotted, right? It will look like a spotted Sefer Torah if you have certain sections that are smaller letters than others. So remember that Megillah I showed you a couple of weeks ago. So that's an example of the opposite problem. That seems like the problem was that he wrote, he left a line blank and erased and put one in the middle, which was still considered to be a problem. But here, they're talking about that you skip the line, which you can understand how it would happen, meaning a sofer is copying off a tikkun, right? So he's writing, and then he gets to the next line, and he skips a line, right? And now all of a sudden, he gets to the bottom of the page and says, "Oy gewalt," right? I am a line short. Each column of a Sefer Torah, at least ideally, is supposed to be the same amount of lines. So he's going to be, all of a sudden, a line short based on what the next column is to the side, right? So what's there to do? So here he's saying you can't erase 3 to write 4, or to write 4 or 5 to replace that which was checked, because you're going to have to make things smaller. V'tov l'sali kayiria. And it's really best that you should just remove the entire panel. Meaning if you've done that, you just might as well just erase the entire panel. What other choice do you have according to the Ramah? Not much. That means you just got to erase a lot more and rewrite a lot more, which is a real, which is a real challenge. The Ramah is saying, really, you got to fix it. However, the Ramah adds in, "Mikol makom hasofrim nagu l'takin." The sofrim are noheg to fix, as we wrote earlier in Reishai and Hay, where he describes the process of fixing. Why is that? So you see, there's a bir hagra. The Zion there sends you to the gra. So the gra on the bottom of the cage says, the gra sif Zion says, "Mesechas sofrim parakei alacha ches." Right. So those are the brisos in the end of. In a standard Vilna Shas, it's found at the end of Maseches Avodah Zarah. So there, he says, "Gorer achas v'kosev shtayim, o shtayim v'kosev shalosh." The Maseches Sofrim, it says, is that you are allowed to erase one line in order to write two lines, or two lines to write three lines. Uvashel yegorer achas v'yichtov shalosh, as long as you don't erase one and put in three lines. So he does allow the Maseches Sofrim, and I looked it up, the Maseches Sofrim says it explicitly, that you could write one, you could erase one in order to put in two, or two to put in three. So you could use that proportion then to figure out how you would slide extra lines in. That is from the Maseches Sofrim. The tour is, the Lachan Shulchan Aruch is actually from a tshuva of the Ramah, I believe. Tur b'shem tshuvas, right, Aviv HaRash, from the Rush, from the tshuvas of the Rush. Why, I didn't have a chance to look up the Rush, and the Beis Yosef doesn't quote it, so had I really wanted to figure out what's going on here, I would have dug up the tshuvas HaRush from the Bar Ilan, but, it's a week before Pesach, so it didn't happen today. Okay, yeah.
Many lines. There's a good chance that there's going to be a shame somewhere.
Correct. That's what he's referring to with the Reish Ayin Hey. So long as you don't erase the Shem Hashem, or you figure out a way to insert that you can write around. There are ways of writing around it, which are going to get kind of complicated in this kind of situation. I don't know. I haven't seen it in a while, but. Nowadays, things are even more formalized, so it could be that they've sort of taken care of this problem as well. Okay, if we go to the tour, back to the tour then. So I guess page 3 in the source sheets?
Tour is page 1 and 2, no?
Tour is only on page 1 and 2. Oh, no, I forgot to put on page 3. All right, I don't want to interrupt. Okay, how do we do this then? What do I need?
You have to insert a page.
Right, I can insert a page.
You just unsew it.
Right, so that's actually what the next section is, the issue of sewing. All right, so we'll do it in the Shulchan Aruch and try to fit in the blanks from what the Beis Yosef is talking about. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Sefer Torah shenikra bo yiria. Besoch shnei shitos. So this is, you have a Sefer Torah where the parchment broke, right? Within two lines. So it sounds within two lines of the top. So you have a tear that's gone into dividing up the two different that's gone into the what's it called? The writing itself and gone to the second line into the writing. Now, there's a bit of a question here as to did it cut a letter in half? Not a cut a letter in half. So we'll get to that. But let's just assume for now that a cut somehow went through to the second line from the top or the second line from the bottom, and has not broken up any of the letters. So besoch shnei shitas. So yitfor. So you should sew it besoch gimel. Sorry. So yitfor. So you can go ahead and sew it back together. Besoch gimel. Lo yitfor, but once it's got into line number 3, so then you no longer can sew it. Right, that already is too much. So b'medvar mamurim b'yashan. So then the Shulchan Aruch then adds it. So again, so we're clear. So if it's 2 lines in, that's okay. 3 lines in is going to be a problem. The assumption being because then already it's going to start looking pretty bad. Okay, right. The assumption being was then already it's going to look poor. So continues the Shulchan Aruch here. He says, "Bamedvar mamurim, however, biyashan, by an old something." Well, it's unclear what old means. She'eni futso nikar, where the gall nuts is no longer recognizable. I mean, it's already kind of lost its color, it seems. V'im nikar hagvil shehu afut, tofer afilu kara haba besoch gimel, aval lo yoser, but not more. Meaning if it's a newer Sefer Torah, where it's not going to be as recognizable, we'd allow it into the third line, but no more than that. V'chein bein daf ladaf, and also between two columns, it would be okay. Uvein teva l'teva yitfor, and between letters, between words, we would also sew it. V'chol hakrios ein tofren osam el begidim shetofren behem hayarios zulazu. And all of the krios, all of the tear, all the tears that happen, so ein tofren otam, you're not permitted to sew them, except for with gidim. Except for with the with the sinews that we talked about the other week, which you use to sew all of the yerios one to another. Okay, so that is the simple din Shulchan Aruch, simple din from the Gemara, right? Within two lines, you're permitted. Now, what are these two lines? It sounds like the two lines would have to be that there's a cut between letters of one word, which is going to be pretty hard to come up with. Right now, what about cutting a letter itself? So that's, we'll get into the Taz. But it seems like at least there are, at this point, the two line rule is only if there is a slice between cutting one word apart from cutting between one word. But if it's between words, and certainly if it's between columns, the Shulchan Aruch seems to say that would be okay. Okay, so that's issue. Yeah.
What's the rationale between the old and the new? I didn't understand.
Yeah, so between the old and the new the issue is whether it's dark or how dark it is. So will it how visible will the stitching be? So the stitching might not be so visible if it is a newer Torah. Yeah. That seems to be the rationale.
This is actually a cut in the parchment itself. It's coursing through a letter.
Right.
Not a letter, no.
No. Well. The letter, whether inside of a letter is a machlokas, but between letters of one word. If it's between words,
I should tear in the parchment.
Yeah. Yeah. But if it's one word, if it's between words, so the Shulchan Aruch gives you an extra line. And the Ramah says, but that's it. Right? No more than that third line. Now. Okay. So right, so the Piskei Tshuva adds in, by the way, the same halacha is by mezuzahs and tefillin, also the two-line rule. And by the way, this happens. You look at especially older Sifrei Torah, you see there are tears at the bottom. Now, you do have a nice buffer zone, right, until you get to the actual writing. You do have, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, how much space you need. So there is some amount of space, certainly in the Sefer Torah, perhaps not in mezuzahs and tefillin. But then you have this additional chumrah of how to put it together. So Shulchan Aruch says, well, you need to sew it together, because Halacha Moshe Misinai is that you need to go ahead, that the only connections that you can have in a Sefer Torah, the Halacha Moshe Misinai is that you sew panels of a Sefer Torah together. That's the Halacha as laid out in the Shulchan Aruch. Now it continues on the Ramah, and the Ramah says,
In a mezuzah, normally there would be no sewing, but if it was a
tear,
it could be sewn?
In a Sefer Torah or a mezuzah. So, sorry, or a tefillin. So, I don't know. I don't know if you would require it. The truth is, and by a Sefer Torah also, it's unclear whether we require it, because the continues on the Ramah and says, V'yesh omrim shenoagim l'tafram b'meshi. That some say that the minug really is to sew it with meshi, which is regular thread, or literally silk. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Literally silk, but probably means just a regular thread. V'chein noa gin ha'idna. And that's the minug today. Aval ha'ikr l'tafram b'gidim im efshar. But the main halacha is to sew it with gidim if possible. V'yesh omrim, though. But then there are those who say, d'mutr l'davik alav, that you could even... you could even glue it together, a cloth, mibachutz, kolzman shemutr l'tafrim, so long as you're able to sew it, l'davik ha'kriya al yidei kach, and connect the kriya in this way. Meaning if it fits the rules of when you're allowed to sew it, says the Rama, there are those who say that you could even use glue to connect it, you wouldn't necessarily need to sew it. And so too, if you are missing something written on the cloth, you can, that's glued, v'chein im nechsar davar kosman al klaf hadavuk, right? You can even write it on the klaf that's glued on. What's that talking about? So that's what we refer to as a matlas. A matlas is a patch, right? So they stick this patch on and they glue it on. That's how it gets on. If you see, I think after we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, I think Sheldon and Sam both found matlases. Oh no, that was when the letter extends into the column, right, into the margin. That's what we found. Okay, so v'nasa davar kosvin al kaf adav, right, and v'chein nagu, and that is our minhug. Fine. So maybe we'll save the rest for next. But let's just discuss this for a little bit. So the Mechaber doesn't mention this idea of using glue. The Mechaber only mentions the idea of sewing it together, and the Ramah quotes this idea that you could even use glue. Where did the Rama get this from? So, yeah. So where did the Rama get this from? So the Beis Yosef himself digs up, and the Beis Yosef just doesn't pask in that way. From again this Masecha Sofrim, this list of brisos that is pretty authoritative, talks about the idea of putting a matlas on. So what is this matlas? This matlas is a patch. Now, are we sewing the matlas on? Probably not. It probably means that you're gluing it on. So based on that, you already see in some Rishonim quote that as a source that you see the Halacha Moshe Misinai, the idea that you require sewing, that would only be between panels. But if it's not between panels, perhaps using glue would be okay. And I believe the language of the Rush might even be preferable. Because when you sew, it's like stitches, right? So you're going to see a mark when you have stitches. But if you glue it on, so that might actually be preferable. The Rivash says you could even do that with the older Sefer Torah. Remember in the Mechaber, he made a distinction between older and newer Sefer Torah because the older one is going to be recognizable. So says the Rivash, okay, that's if you're putting in, you know, giddin, which are white, into parchment, which is darkened. But if you're just gluing it, so the gluing is going to be on the outside, you're not even going to see it. So suggests the Rivash, quote in the Beis Yosef, that therefore that should be okay. So how do we paskin in this machlokas? So you can take a look in the Shach Sif Zion.
We're losing you there.
Sorry, the Shach in Sif Zion says as follows: the Lashon Habach. Lashon Habach Kasuf Maharik Hashorish Kufchav Beis Amashenagu Litlos Bematlis Al Nekavim Biria. What about this minhag of putting these matlis on the holes in the urea on the parchment? Kodem Hachalas Ksiva Sefer Torah, before writing the Sefer Torah. Va'achar kach kosvin al hatlay. And then they would write over these patches. Meaning you look at the patch, you start writing, and then you see there's a hole in it. So you put a patch on it, and then you just write. And if part of the writing happens to be on a matlas, on a patch, so he says that would be okay. So he says, va'achar kosvin al hatlay, uvo mixas chachamu hivu rayos l'isser. And he quotes some that bring proofs to Aseret. V'dachu rayos l'isser. He pushes off those proofs. So he quotes that there's a machlokes, Vilfia Nias Daisi, says the Shach. Iker Kedivre Haosrim. He says, I think the halacha is like those that aser it, that you shouldn't use these patches and you shouldn't use glue. However, Ela Me'achar Shenagu HaKadmonim, but once they've done this in earlier generations, Lichros B'Sefer Torah, to read from Sefer Torah like this, Lifnei Gedolei Olam, in front of Gedolim, V'lo Michu Yeyadam, and they didn't protest, Ad Korchach Ein L'Shum Gadol Limchos L'Horos Hara L'Isser. So no Gadol should come and aser it and say that it's a problem. Lesser L'Acher. Aval HaMachmir La'atzmo B'Sefer Torah Shalom, but someone wants to be machmir for themselves and their Sefer Torah, that's good. B'Tzvo Lav Bracha. Mihu nira im ksav mixas os al yirio mixaso al tle hareza pasul. That if you have, however, a part of the letter on the parchment and then part of the letter stretches onto the matlis, says the shach that would be a problem according to everybody. So that gets into the machlokas with the Taz. The Taz suggests that even that would be okay. But anyways, we're left here with a Mechaber versus Ramah. The Ramah quotes the idea of using glue in order to glue these things together. And we pasken like the Shach. The Shach says that we're not going to aser any Sifrei Torah that are that are patched together in this way. But if you want to be machmir for yourself, you should be machmir. So in the Rabbi Mendelowitz book on writing a Sifrei Torah, so that's what he records. He records the Bach, he records the Shach, and says that certainly using a Sefer Torah with a matlis and that uses some amount of glue, he says, would be permissible. We wouldn't passel a Sefer Torah as a result, but we wouldn't call it mehudr. So if somebody comes and says, I want a mehudr Sefer Torah, so mehudr Sefer Torah would mean that it doesn't have a matlis in it. And if a panel requires one, so you wouldn't use it. You wouldn't use parchment that has any holes in it. I think Sefer Torah that are written today, now that they're using the lighter parchment that is that comes from the fetuses rather than the animals itself. So I think it becomes a lot easier, especially because, again, when Klaff was by a sofer and the sofer went when the sofer needed parchment. So he would go to Laser Wolf in Anatevka, and Laser Wolf would give him whatever skin came from the animals that day, and you're stuck with what you got. But nowadays, that the cloth is mass-produced, so if you have a big panel, you'll use it for a Sefer Torah, and if you have a hole in the middle of the panel, so then you'll cut it up in small pieces in order to use for tefillin and mezuzahs. So I think the issue has sort of been pushed to the side, at least with modern Sefer Torah, because there's no real need to patch things up, because it's not really going to be a loss involved, right? If you have one with a hole, so then you'll use it for tefillin and mezuzahs, as opposed to the old days where you didn't necessarily have access to a lot of cloth, so you had to figure out ways to be makel and use these patches. Now the bigger question is that would apply nowadays is if there's really a mistake in it. If there's really a mistake and you got to figure out a way to fix it, so then you could, like, potentially you have Hashem's name. So one of the ways of resolving that is to cut out Hashem's name and put a patch on. Right? And then you just put the Shem's name, you put that in Shemus. You're not erasing the Shem Hashem. So whether that's so that could potentially would be where it comes into play today, but again, nowadays with the quality of stuff, I don't think it comes up that often anymore. All right, so I think I'll stop here. I think tonight is koshering night in our kitchen, so I think I need to go downstairs, and we'll pick up Ymir Tzeh Hashem in 2 weeks. Okay? Okay. Okay.